KAFHW testing.
KEAMWN testing, statewide one.
Sound good there, coming through very nicely. Any GMZ?
All right, I appreciate that. I just got my mobile programmed up and glad to know it's working good. I appreciate that.
Yep, you're welcome. I heard you on statewide too as well. That's working. You know you're making it in just fine.
All righty. I appreciate that again. Kilo Echo 8, Mike.
Golf Mike Zulu.
KAFHW testing.
KAMWN, I got you in here.
Well, that's it. Okay, so far so good.
Yeah, now that you're on the right talk group.
There's a good possibility I got something mislabeled here, but it's been a long time since I've used this radio.
Well, I had to go to the other radio that's in the other room, and it said you were on talk group 54.
Okay, the base city machine. Do we want to go to the other groups and see if they, the other three work?
Are you talking simplex?
No, on the machine. Although I'm pretty confident that if you got one, you got the other three, right?
I didn't put anything in for the Brandmeister repeater yet, so I just got analog and MI5, and then I've got some digital simplex.
Yeah, I don't think we're close enough together to try the simplex.
Well, bit error correction does wonders.
Okay, just for kicks, I'll do it. And if we get one, I'll meet you back here.
Okay, sounds good. K8MW, going to be clear, statewide one for now.
Okay, K8FHW, you want to text me on the phone what simplex frequency you want?
Yeah.
I'm statewide one. Well, good afternoon. I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer your question, but we can give it a try. WB8GUN. WB8GUN.
Thank you, Sam Testing.
GGZH Testing. KGHZH.
KEGAZH from KEAMWN. Were you calling somebody in particular?
Negative, sir. I was just running some tests on this radio. I've been working with a code plug for on it for about a week now, and I keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it, and just experimenting and playing around and testing and making sure I didn't lose what I already had and all that sort of thing. Name here is Chuck. I'm out of Gladwin, Michigan.
Alrighty, Chuck. Name here is Ben, Bravo Echo November, and I got the laptop in front of me. I just built this one from scratch today and just finished adding some GMRS to it. Not too far southeast of you, down here in east of Bay City, out in Hampton Township. So you got Bay City, Essexville, then Hampton Township.
Okay, I appreciate it. I think I'm getting into the pin counting machine, I believe, and quite honestly, I'm in complete shock that I'm able to get into it because I'm from Gladwin here, from an HD. That's a long haul to get to that repeater unless there's a remote receive site up this way somewhere.
No, there's definitely not a remote receive site there. I think the next closest machine to Gladwin would be Shepherd, which is considerably further than Pinconning. Then there's Mayo to the northeast of you. The other ones are like Hackleberg and, what's the other one up there? But they're way north of you, so I've been to all the sites. I've put in a lot of time helping these guys.
Okay, well, I'm very new to DMR. I've been a long time on C4FM, but, you know, I've been around a while. I'm not a new ham or anything, but I never really dabbled too much in DMR. About 10 years ago I did, and I stopped and then decided to get back into it, so I just bought this little Anytone HD and decided to give it another try, but so far I'm very impressed by this system. My understanding is, though, this system is not part of Brandmeister, which is fine with me. I don't really care, but I'm just saying that it doesn't look like it is. It looks like it's an independent system. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what the status of that is still, but I thought it was linked into Brandmeister, but the system itself is standalone. You don't have to have Brandmeister to get into it. And that particular tower there, that antenna is on the very top for this. And I want to say it's like 320 feet up, something like that. So it's got a decent little bit of height there.
Okay, just curious. As I said, I'm still on a learning curve with this. You know, you could be a ham for 30 years like me, and still you get into something new, and it's a whole new learning experience, just like you started all over again.
Well, it's never a dull moment. I'm on my mobile in the Bay City machine here. It's a Motorola XPR5550E. However, I do own an Anytone 878 also.
Okay, it seems like a pretty decent little radio. I noticed it has a feature in it, a built-in feature for tracking, and I've been monitoring satellites a little bit, hoping maybe I could pick up on something with that, but so far no luck.
Yeah, that feature I couldn't help a whole lot with. I've only ever used this little thing for just DMR repeaters, so I enjoy it. It's a nice little mode. I like P25 also, so that's my two big things. I work at the local Motorola shop here, too, in Bay City.
Okay, well, that explains possibly where why you're running the mobile radio that you're running. but no, I'm a long time ham, and you know, I started out on HF more so than VHF or UHF, and kind of worked my way up to VHF and UHF because I still do a dabble in HF. I have a couple HF rigs, but I don't get out there as much as I used to. I just find that, you know, I'm not much of a contester.
Yeah, it's not bad. I have a little fun with that stuff on HF, but I don't know. Just any HF is fun, I guess, as long as it's radio. Do you know W8JDE up there? A guy named John?
Negative. The call sign doesn't sound familiar. There's a John here in Gladwin. CSX, W8CSX, but not a JD. I don't believe I've ever heard of him.
All right. Yeah, I haven't seen the guy I'm talking about. I've probably been about a year or so since I've seen him. So he's from up there. Again, his is a Whiskey 8 Juliet Delta Echo.
Okay. No, I haven't heard him out here. I do, other than DMR, I dabble a lot in Fusion. And is he a Fusion guy? I mean, is he on C4FM a lot? Because I do get on the Eastern link a lot.
I'm not sure. I don't have any Fusion equipment here. Not that I got anything against it. I got so much other stuff sitting here that I play with. I just didn't want to add anything else to the pile of stuff that I may not use.
Okay. Well, I dabble a lot more in Fusion. When I bought this DMR rig, I kind of was on the fence about whether I wanted to go as far as I did with Fusion because I spent a lot of money. I got nodes and everything else here for C4FM, and you know, I got it locked into Eastern Michigan link and all that sort of thing, but I'm not sure I'm going to go that far with DMR. I'm waiting to see how it works out, but it seems to be doing okay.
Yeah, it's a really good mode. This is probably the only link one I get on. I do get on the VHF link stuff and UHF with Central Michigan. I don't dabble in too much of the other linked stuff.
Okay. I assume you're running a hotspot then.
Yeah, I have a few of them, but they're not expensive. I get the parts and build them myself. They're not a overly complicated thing to build.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I never built one, but I've seen plenty of kits out there and little pie stars and all that other stuff that you can. I mean, it doesn't look too hard to me, but it just just another node that if I go into it as with Fusion, I'll be a couple $1,000s lighter by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, like a Pi 3B Plus, you can get for $30 to $35. The Pi hat, or the hat isn't expensive, $20-$25. Power supply and the cable to go from the power supply to the board, micro USB and antenna, you shouldn't have any more than $100 locked into it. So, relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, one thing I'm kind of learning here also is that the radios themselves for DMR are quite a bit less expensive than the other modes. You get into like D-Star or Fusion and you buy Yaesu rigs or ICOM rigs and you're looking at per radio, you're looking at about $700 per radio.
Yeah, that's why I even do P25, because I mean you can find used XTSs and XTL 5000s for half of that also. So not really too much into spending $600 or $700 on a Fusion or D-Star rig.
Hey, if this is working for you, I don't blame you. But I'm very impressed by this repeater. I know I'm getting into the Pecanic repeater because of the frequencies I'm transmitting out on, and I'm very impressed. That must be one heck of a repeater. I mean, for me to get to it from Gladwin on a rubber duck, is extremely impressive.
Yeah, the sites are definitely good, good footprints and good equipment in there.
Well, the sound of the audio here on DMR is very good too. I've heard a lot of false information about that, and it's just not true. I mean, the audio is just as good as Fusion or D-Star.
Yeah, it is. It's you do, however, get the occasional guy that has his gain set too high or something like that, and he'll come blasting out of there. But it's pretty rare in my experience. Everything sounds pretty good. I mean, yours is right on the money, so sounds right where it needs to be.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Basically, I created a code plug, and one of the code plugs. I mean, part of that code plug is I have every repeater in this system for MI5 statewide. Every repeater in this system is on my radio right now. And I might throw a couple of others on there, but pretty much I'm where I want to be right now.
Yeah, I just have the one repeater here in Bay City set up with it, and then I have a roam list that's set up. So if I throw it in the car, it'll just automatically roam to the nearest site once this one drops off too much on RSSI.
I was curious about something. Since you brought that up, this radio has a roaming feature, and I was kind of wondering, do you have to program each repeater's GPS settings in there for their roaming to work?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to look deeper into that then. I kind of dismissed it because I thought you would have to know all the GPS coordinates.
No, it just goes on RSSI. Once you drop below a certain RSSI threshold, I think it starts looking at what's in your roam list as far as the repeater pairs, and if it finds one in the repeater pair that meets the criteria, then it'll just bring itself to that, and you'll know by looking at the front of the radio you're not on your home repeater because you'll have an indicator on the screen of that anytone. And I do have my anytone set for roaming as well.
Okay, well, you gave me a new project to work on tonight. I am going to go down there and play with that roaming feature and try to get it up and running. I'm sure it's probably not too hard if you don't need the coordinates in.
No, it's not at all. And if I remember correctly, you have to enter each repeater pair in twice. One for time slot one and one two, obviously. So for the pair. So it's not too bad. It's way easier than trying to enter all the tall groups and repeater pairs in six times, however many sites.
Okay, do the repeaters have to be programmed in such a way where they're all programmed into the same zone?
Yeah, so you don't have to mess with anything that's in the zone. You just go set your roam list up, and that's pretty much it. And Yeah, if you look at all the different sites they got, they recycle the repeater pairs.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that information. I'm definitely going to look into that tonight. So when you're driving around, one thing that I don't like is trying to fidget with the radio, trying to switch repeaters or zones or anything like that when I'm out driving. It's too dangerous. So if it's automatic, that's right up my alley.
Yep, it'll automatically jump sites just like your cell phone would jump from one tower to the other, perfectly seamless. And I think there are videos on YouTube that are fairly explanatory on it, so it'll kind of give you an idea if you're into that kind of research.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure the videos you're talking about are from that, what's that one site there? There's a VMR site that I've been going to and learning a lot from that site. They got all kinds of videos on there.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the channel names of it, but yeah, there's definitely no shortage of content there. Of course, watching a few videos to kind of wade through how some of them people do it slightly different and everything, but it's a pretty straightforward process. It's a lot easier than how I have to do it on this Motorola, but still not overly complicated. Motorola labels everything a lot different, but it's got a lot of good features in this radio too, though, so I like that.
I'm retired now, but years ago I was actually a radio man for one of the police departments in southern Michigan, and I used to, I didn't write the code plugs, that was done by the MPSES, but I used to once the code plug was written, I used to have to flash the into each individual radio, and that was pretty tricky, but it was all P25, and I'm not sure if it's just probably the same thing as with DMR, but it was interesting, you know, but you had, you know, to be honest with you, it's been so long, I don't exactly remember the procedure, but
I've been MPSCS logged in. So if you buy like 100 APX 6000 portables, for example, prove that they went into the radios, you go enter the serial numbers, model number, that for all 100 radios, but you only need to read out one code plug to submit to them, as long as the model, serial, and model and flash are all the same, because then they can just download them right off the state's website now.
Years ago that I did that, but it was a tedious process, I do know that, and there was the state had a certain key they wouldn't give to me. There was a key to get into the code plug, and once they wrote it, you couldn't get into that code plug and modify it. So some of the radios we had dual code plugs in them. They had one for the state and one for other options.
Yeah, the system key, you got to have that for the trunking system, you know, where you put the control channels and stuff, and then, of course, the trunking personality. But there are things that you can do still without a system key, like if you're in a certain county and you wanted to prefer your county's towers instead of roaming to an adjacent county sometimes, like they're famous for doing. There is that, and then, you know, your menu options, you can kind of set that up how you want for your, like for your buttons, like for zone or site lock and different stuff like that, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, we produced actually two code plugs. We had the statewide one and then the, for MPSES, and then we added a second code plug into the radio, which confused a lot of people. I remember a couple times that we sent a couple radios out for repair, and they say, why do you have two code plugs in here? and I had to try to go into an explanation on that.
Did you have, like, a separate trunking system in it or something?
Yeah, we did. We did. We had two of them. And it was, and then all of the, actually, some of those were analog as well. Not just digital.
Ah, okay. So you're talking Motorola Type 2 analog, perhaps?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, neat stuff. An oldie but goodie. Was that the old downriver system?
Actually, I'm retired now, so I'll just come right out and say it. I used to work for the University of Michigan Police Department, and I was one of their radio guys.
Okay, fun stuff. Yeah, I got other stuff in my 800 because where I work at, we Dow Chemical has a P25 phase 2 trunking system in their facility, so we have the advanced system key, and we program all the trunking system in my radio for when I'm out there doing it.
Confusion, because every time I sent a radio out to Motorola for repair,
at the time when they come back, I want to say it's completely, because then you can't just dump it back to the radio if the firmware doesn't match.
Oh, yeah, I know that all too well.
The joys of working on radio for a living.
Well, things have changed a lot, I'd say, in the last 20 years or so. I mean, it's ever since 9/11, really. Before that, it wasn't quite as bad. But before that, it was a lot easier to work with. And then when Michigan adopted the P25 MPSES system, that was right around the time of 9/11, and it made it a lot worse.
Yeah, wish they'd kind of get a little more leniency on the whole system key thing, because I think that would ease up a lot of the congestion, and at least if they'd let us do the code plug and send it over and give us their seal of approval, then we just clone everything else off of it and such, but I don't see that ever happening, so I just submitted some code plugs, like, back in December and still haven't got them back yet, so, you know, you just kind of play the waiting game, and you're at their mercy. It is what it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I used to get, when we had to have a new code plug modification or anything like that, I used to have to take those over to Lansing and drop them off, and sometimes they would take forever.
Yeah. Hopefully, as the years progress, they'll get even more streamlined.
God, it's been so long now, I'm forgetting the names of the people, but you probably worked with some of the same people I did over there in Lansing.
Yeah, there's one guy or a couple of them that have been there quite a while, from my understanding. So, but yeah, I deal with them frequently.
Listen, I got a phone call coming in. I'm going to have to cut it here, but I appreciate talking to you. I'm going to look up some of that stuff tonight about the roaming. I'll talk to you later. KGAZH.
All right, sounds good. Good talking with you. K8MWN, be monitoring.
K8YNU, Statewide 1.
K8ZTC Mobile, isn't it?